On New Year's Eve, most Americans rejoice at the beginning of a fresh new year. Dr. America will be celebrating too, but he'll be thinking at the same time. And one of the things he'll be pondering is the newness of the year. At one level, of course, both the year and its newness are arbitrary, strictly a social convention. But at another level, the new year is what makes possible the progress of American culture. In the regular production of years, the new year is literally the annual model change. And it's that change that makes all the other changes seem significant. If 2000 didn't turn into 2001, then Dr. America's cars wouldn't seem so obsolescent, his fashions wouldn't be so unfashionable, and his ideas wouldn't seem so hopelessly outdated. In America, the new is an essential part of our history. We were the new world on a new continent, a new nation with a new birth of liberty. We live in New York, New Orleans, New Hampshire, and New Mexico. We voted for the new freedom, the new deal, and the new frontier. Even more importantly these days, we buy lots of new stuff, and we often buy it just because it's new. We do this, of course, because over the course of the 20th century, advertisers worked tirelessly to make new synonymous with improved. Even though the root of improvement is prove, there's often scant evidence that the new is improved. Many times, the new is simply unproved. But our American ideology of progress absolutely depends on this linkage between novelty and betterment. In fact, though, improvement depends on how we define it and what we value. A commodity may be improved without the world being improved, and without people being any better. A product may be stylistically improved without being functionally improved. People can be materially improved without being spiritually improved. Individuals can be improved without society being better off. Often, new and improved means modified just enough to sell a second one to someone who already has one. One consequence of our fascination with novelty is our disdain for the old and for tradition. Indeed, the basic meaning of new and improved is built on the definition of old and established. As early as 1924, journalist Samuel Strauss suggested that what he called consumptionism undercut respect for wisdom and established traditions. In what he called the New Age, Americans just accepted the common belief that the world is for the young and that the old are merely clogs on the chariot wheels of triumphant progress. This process is still at work. The new is what makes the old old. In a commercial culture, this is what's called obsolescence, whether it's planned or not. The new and improved marginalizes the old and established, the tried and true. The new model or the new fashion doesn't make the old model less functional, except insofar as the function of the product is to mark our up-to-dateness and to show how hip we are. We want to be current, and so we're willing to shift with the currents of culture. But this process also marginalizes wisdom, which comes with age and tradition. We don't speak of new wisdom because we know that wisdom usually requires that we become older and wiser. Overall, we Americans suffer from what Dr. America calls neophilia, the obsession with the new and the novel. Not the literary novel, of course, since reading is hopelessly old-fashioned, but the commercial novelties of shopping centers and discount stores. Neophiliacs are always looking for the next new thing, the new and improved products that show up in the store windows. These new products are like freshness dating for people, marking them as up to date, as if the mere date were a mark of quality. From the American Studies Museum, this is Dr. America, hoping to age enough in the new year to become wiser.